I'm Nick Spitzer. This is American Roots. It's time to travel back to the south of France and a medieval manse on a village street to visit with the enigmatic and often beloved R. Crumb. I arrived at his purple door with a requested gift in hand of Louisiana hot sauce. The artist, musician, and record collector Robert Crumb is an icon of the American counterculture. The father of the underground comic movement, Crumb's also used his pen and ink drawing style in books and album covers to satirize contemporary American life. Crumb's love of the intimate ideal of rural village life also led him to collect old 78s, recordings that stimulated his visual imagination and portraits of jazz, blues, and country musicians from the 1920s onward. Our conversation with R. Crumb began with early memories of music.
My mother used to tell this story that when I was really little, like 3 years old, I would sit on this rocking chair on the front porch, and she had this old radio that she'd put on the windowsill and play, this is in Philadelphia, play polka music. And I would rock this rocking chair furiously in time with this polka music. She said I really loved polka music. And then, I don't know, the 50s, the early 50s, late 40s, was a pretty bleak period for middle-class white America as far as music goes. And my parents were not particularly interested in, less than the most popular mainstream music, like country western or rhythm and blues or even polka music per se. They listened to Vaughn Monroe and Perry Como and Rosemary Clooney. It's my mother. That's what she liked to listen to, that kind of mainstream stuff. I remember my mother would be like cleaning the house and had the radio on, and this music was so dreary and depressing to me.
But one thing I want you to know, I've loved you since heaven knows when. There I said it again.
And then I started hearing old music in cartoons on TV and Laurel and Hardy and all that stuff, which had this music that was so appealing to me. I don't know why, it really appealed to me. Much later, I found out that the Hal Roach themes that were so appealing as a kid were all written and orchestrated and recorded by a man named Leroy Shield, who's really an unsung hero of American music. He's a great composer. Those Hal Roach themes are wonderful, and I still love them. When I got into my teens and I kind of liked early rock and roll when it first started. I was like 12, 13, mid-50s.
Like who?
That appealed to me. Rockabilly appealed to me.
Well, I wanna, love it. So baby, can't you see that you were meant for me? I want your loving, yes sirree. I bet I wanna, da-da-da-da, hug it. I bet I wanna, da-da-da-da, kiss it.
We were living in Delaware at the time, and these radio stations around there, you could hear it. You used to get the stations from the south, further south. They played lots of rockabilly. And then in the late 50s, it started to vanish. Rockabilly started to disappear from the airwaves. And then about the time I was 16, 17, I was always looking in secondhand shops for old comics and stuff. You know, I was already into that collecting thing. I was such a compulsive collector. And I started noticing there were 78s, piles of them in these secondhand shops.
It was old media at that point.
It was right at the end of the 78 era. 78s were phasing out in 58, 59, 60, just about the time I discovered them. And one time out of curiosity, I remember I bought this 78. They were very cheap, 10 cents. And I brought it home, and it was called Down in the Cemetery by a singer named Billy Bird. Part of the reason I bought it is because I was just attracted to the label design. It was this old-fashioned, obviously from the 20s label. And the music was so exotic and strange to me, Down in the Cemetery. And I listened to it a couple of times, and I put it in this box under my bed with all my comics and stuff, and it got broken.
I was going to ask you if it was here on this great wall of 78s.
Well, actually, I just got another copy in the last few months.
You did?
Yeah.
Do you think we could hear it at some point?
Down in the Cemetery by Billy Byrd, yeah. Sure, I'll play it. You want to hear it now?
Sure, why not? I assume these are alphabetical by artist?
And also by categories. So, like, there's American jazz and popular music here. Then it goes to blues and jug bands and gospel music. And then it starts down here at country and white country music, separated by race. Here's Down in the Cemetery.
What's the label we got?
Old Columbia label from the 20s.
Yeah.
When I first saw that label, I'd never seen one before. I thought, wow, that looks interesting. Down in the Cemetery.
Yeah.
I'm gonna talk about this cemetery. Ain't gonna talk no more. Then I went to the cemetery, looked at my baby's face. And I went to the cemetery, looked at my baby's face. Said, I love you, baby, but I sure can't take your place. I'm going away, baby, where you off my mind. Said, I'm going away, baby, where you off my mind. And if I stay around here, I'll be crazy all the time. I don't want me no woman, got hair like drops of rain. But I don't want no woman, hair like drops of rain. Every time she combs her head, you can hear them hard nails sing. My woman's got teeth like a lighthouse on the sea. Ah, she's got teeth like a lighthouse on the sea. Every time she smiles, she throws delights on me.
Only rural black people that maybe some of them had moved to the cities, industrial cities, listened to this music at that time. No one else listened to it. No white people listened to it except the guys who ran the record companies.
Who wanted to sell them back to those people.
Yeah, so it was basically ethnic music. It was
right.
Like Polish music or Mexican music or anything. It was for rural black people.
Right.
And the white intelligentsia knew nothing about this music at that time, in the 1920s.
Stick with me, sweet mama. Mama, stick with me. Stick with me, sweet mama. Mama, stick with me. I'm gonna make me 100 and I'm gonna give you 99.
You know, when I first heard this record, when I was 15th, that's so exotic. I never heard anything like that. Something that was completely buried in the past. It was like listening to something from ancient Egypt or something. I don't even know if I liked it when I first heard it, you know. And then I was at this farmer's market, and there were these albums full of these 78s, and they looked so intriguing, I bought a whole bunch of them. And these then turned out to be white American dance band records of the 20s. And when I put one of those on, I thought, that's it. That's the music I'm looking for. That's the music from Laurel and Hardy. That's the music from those old cartoons that I loved. And this one was just like, to me, was it. It was that music. And then I said, well, that's it. I'm a committed record collector now for the rest of my life. I knew that I was hooked on the old records. Let me play that record that was that defining moment in my life. It's called Happy Days and Lonely Nights by Charlie Fry's Million Dollar Pier Orchestra. This is 1928.
Okay.
When I first heard this, I realized the syncopation in this is something that I was searching for. I was syncopation deprived.
Oh. kind of hear or see cartoons when I hear this music.
Yeah, that's right. It's cartoon music.
With a parting of the ways, you took all my happy days and left me lonely nights. Morning never comes too soon. I can face the afternoon, but oh, those lonely nights. I feel your arms around me, your kisses linger yet. You taught me how to love you, now teach me to forget. You broke my heart a million ways when you took my happy days and left me lonely nights.
You can almost put yourself in the place of the singer in some of these sing-alongs.
Yeah. This is dance music. People dance to this stuff.
Solid band.
Oh yeah, it's very typical. There's thousands of these bands in America at that time. Thousands of them. Can you imagine?
That was very typical dance band of the period, the '20s. Now it sounds really antique. By 10 years after that, 38, it was entirely different mood, different feeling, the music. And modern people can relate to that better. Mm. Somehow it sounds so much more closer to our time than that 20s thing, which sounds like
right.
So far back, it sounds like another world. There were no books about it. You couldn't find who these people were. The names are just completely unknown. You know, who are the two poor boys? Who's Salty Dog Sam? You know, who are these people? And there's nothing about them written at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've done some cartoons about collecting obsession.
Yeah.
I did a two-page strip about looking for old records, which was a true account from my young days when I first started fanatically collecting 78s. And I got onto this idea from a book I read about knocking on doors and asking people if they had old 78s in black neighborhoods. So I did this in Dover, Delaware, where I was living in 1960-61. Got a lot of good records that way. Mm. But this one lady, this one old black lady, she had this one record that I was really wanted. I didn't know what it was. I'd never heard of it. It was this band called Slim Lamar Southerners. It was on that Victor label from the late 20s. And I didn't have much money at the time. I never had more than, you know, some coins in my pocket to pay for these records. And I said, I'm interested in that one. And she said, well, how much do you pay me for that? I said, well, I'll give you a 25 cents. So she said, oh, no, you think you're going to get that record for 25 cents? I know that's more valuable than that. So I went away. I was real frustrated. I thought, that's got to be a good record. And so I went back there about, I don't know, a week later or something. Went back to her house. She lived in this unpainted shack with like kerosene lamp on the table. And I said, well, here, I've got a dollar. I'll give you a dollar for that record. She said, oh, no, you think you're going to trick an ignorant old colored woman, and no white boy's going to, you know, trick me, and I'm not going to sell you that record for no dollar. I know it's more valuable than that. I went away and never did get that record. And I got it like, you know, 35, 40 years later, what I paid like $25 for off an auction list.
Jeez, that's about 1,000% increase, isn't it?
And it was a great record, too.
Yeah.
It was a fabulous record.
Could we hear that one?
Yeah. Okay, it's Goofus by Slim Lamar Southerners.
I already love this.
It's crazy, huh?
Yeah.
Charleston.
It sounds like, you know, kind of jazz band with jazz fiddling meets country.
Oh, sure, sure. These are southern boys of the 20s, yeah.
You know, she was right. She shouldn't have sold it to you for 25 cents.
I just didn't have the money. I would have paid her more, but I didn't. I'm sure when she died, it probably got thrown in the trash. Nobody knows anything about this group at all. Nothing's known about them.
From Slim Lamar and his Southerners, 1928, on the Victor label, just one of the offerings by our guest DJ from his 78 collection and drawing studio this hour, the artist Robert Crumb. We'll hear more songs and stories from R. Crumb from the comfort of his living room in a moment when American Roots continues.